Welcome to another edition of Community Tides with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. On alternative Fridays at noon, we get together to talk about new developments, new paradigms, and the challenging new normal facing Jefferson County as we roll along with the vaccines and the variants through the rest of 2021. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you as always.
As always. Quilcene is a part of our county that is quite unique in many ways. It's rural. It's somewhat isolated from the hustle and bustle of normal activity up here around Port Townsend and even Chimicum. We have a special guest. Bex Berryhill is an organizer and musician who lives in Quilcene. Her background is in collective process and arts and empowerment programming for youth. She has run music camps for queer and trans teens, led outdoor education and team building programs, and now the youth programs manager at Centrum. She is also a member of the organizing collective of the Gray Coast Guild Hall. And the Gray Coast Guild Hall is in Quilcene, and that's what we want to find out about. Now, when I first saw Gray Coast Guild Hall, that was a very mysterious sounding thing to me, almost like the Mystic Order of Raccoons, you know, but it's not really that. It's a collective, and you're going to have to tell us about that.
Great. Well, I would love to. And thanks for having me on today. I'm excited to chat with both of you.
Bex, let's start out with kind of your background and how you found yourself working with the folks at Gray Coast.
Like Chris said, I'm a organizer and musician and have always been very excited about and committed to collective organizing and finding ways for communities, folks in community to organize with one another to create and co-create resources to both empower themselves and also just build more resources and skills in the wider community. So in my life, that's looked like this collectively run music camp for queer and trans youth that happened both in Olympia and Seattle. I've been part of community bike shops. I've been part of all different types of arts and sort of culture creating collectives that strive to just build personal and community empowerment. And that's really what the Gray Coast Guild Hall is about. So I've lived in Quilcene for close to 5 years now. And when I moved there, I live way out in the woods, off the grid, and so do many of the other folks that I know down there. And there's a real lack of space to gather, indoor space. You know, everyone's living in these tiny trailers and shoebox cabins and trying to build up their own infrastructure and in many different forms, sort of just toiling away out in the woods on their own. And I moved here from Seattle, where there's a very vibrant arts and music scene. And coming out to Quilcene, I saw so many artists and musicians and, you know, crafters and creators without many options for where to gather and where to share their music with one another, where to host events or even have a large gathering, you know, to host an organizing meeting or an informational movie night or folks coming through on a book tour, things like that. The old theater building in Quilcene had been for sale for a number of years. And with some friends, we sort of organized to turn that into what it is today, which is the Gray Coast Guild Hall.
Now, this theater building was available. What's the history behind that? How did it become available to you?
Yeah, so this is a really cool, special building. It was built in the early 1930s, and it was the Quilcene Movie Theater. It's a large building. It's got a sloped floor with, you know, auditorium seating. It's got a stage, and it's dilapidated. You know, it's got it needs a lot of love, but it's been a staple of the Quilcene community in a lot of different ways. So it was a movie theater. It's been a gallery, an artist cooperative, a music venue, a wood shop, I believe a doggy daycare at one point. I've heard rumors that it used to be a speakeasy of some sort. So there's all kinds of things that have happened there. And it really seemed like the perfect place to hold the kind of project that we were envisioning.
If the walls could speak, right? The whole evolution of this place, it's kind of appropriate.
And there are, we've got wonderful neighbors in Quilcene, including some folks on the block. We're on Old Church Road, right in sort of the heart of downtown Quilcene. And there are some folks on the block who have seen the building go through many different transformations. And anytime we have events or gatherings, people come by and share stories about things they've seen happen in the space, or, oh, 20 years ago, I used to record bands here, or here's photographs from the 80s of what was going on. So we're trying to gather those stories over time, but it's been a really dynamic space, and I'm excited to help be part of a group stewarding it through a next chapter here.
I just love this new moment of its evolution and what you all are doing down there. I was wondering if you could just kind of lift up for us, what did some of those activities look like right now? Like, what's happening in the space? Who's showing up?
COVID, of course, has thrown a big wrench in a lot of what's happening. But we got the space about 3 years ago, so in the fall of 2018, and have had a ton of events since then. So movie nights, music performances, book tour, dance parties, all kinds of meetings and gatherings. There's a Sacred Harp singing group that's been meeting there more recently. When the pandemic hit, we shut down our public events, and people were still able to access the space for small group meetings and things like that. And the collective, there's seven of us in the organizing collective at this point, and we really just hunkered down and focused on a lot of our back-end logistical work. So really digging into our collective structure and working on building repair projects and getting incorporated as an LLC. And so we were able to set up a bank account and things like that. So we've really been working hard on logistics, but we're excited to be figuring out COVID-safe ways to start reopening for events and gatherings so people can access the space again. There's actually a performance tonight with Lavender Country and Ashley Flynn and the Riveters. So having some great queer country music gracing our stage this evening with mandatory masks, half capacity in the building, and hopefully it'll be a good time.
I'm so excited about that show. I just want to lift up for our listeners that this is a pre-recorded show. So unfortunately, we've missed the opportunity to see it, but it's a great example of the kind of cool programming that you all are doing down there. And so we'll just keep our eyes out and be ready for the next one.
How many members are directing your collective?
There are seven of us in the core organizing collective. All of us live down in Quilcene. And in that group, we've got a nurse, a massage therapist, a videographer, several woodworkers, a sailor, people coming from a ton of different backgrounds, but all folks who live in Quilcene and have deep backgrounds in collective organizing and in trying to create powerful community spaces together.
What's your vision for this in the long run? I mean, yeah, paint a picture of post-pandemic Guildhall and maybe lift up some of the ways that our community can help you make that vision come true.
My personal vision for the post-pandemic Guildhall includes a dynamic range of events happening, you know, public performances, as well as people being able to rent or use the space for private events and gatherings. I have a background in youth programming, and I'm excited to collaborate with the Quilcene schools, which are right across the street from us, and bring youth into the space and figure out how we can help support all of the amazing young folks who are down in Quilcene and get them involved in that kind of art space. We also have plans to build out the upstairs to have artist and craft studios in the upstairs space. So for folks who don't have the room or the resources at home to have a space for their pottery wheel or their loom or their, you know, screen printing setup or what have you, that's a dream, is to, as we continue improving the building, we're able to provide more space for folks. So that's a small sampling of some of the many things that I would love to see happening there in the future.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, a gathering place for youth sort of like reminds us of the boiler room here in Port Townsend, which no longer exists unless it reappears like a phoenix. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts about just that whole idea of having that gathering place, how important it is? What's the significant importance of all of that, especially down where you are?
Yeah, I would say it's critically important that young folks have places to gather, to create, to have a place where they have ownership over the space and what they're doing and can really make it their own. And the Guildhall is different than the Boiler Room, of course. I love the Boiler Room. I had the great pleasure of playing shows there with several bands that I've been part of before it closed. And one of our collective members was actually on staff at the Boiler Room and was part of it at the end when it was having to shut down. And that was such a huge loss to the community, especially up in Port Townsend. And we share many of the same overarching principles, things like community building, radical spaces of creativity, empowering people through arts and music. We're very different in that the Boiler Room was a very youth-led space and had employees, had job training, had drop-in hours, which are things that the Guildhall doesn't have or isn't focused on at this point. But we all love the Boiler Room and hope to see some of the spirit of the Boiler Room continue, especially as we are able to develop youth programming in the future and have more youth-led and youth-focused events happening. And we actually inherited some of the Boiler Room's old couches and tables that had different murals painted on them when they closed. So we're carrying on a little part of the spirit in that way as well.
I love that idea. I think we've really been still hurting from the closure of that space. And it was one of the reasons I was so excited to have this conversation with you today, because our young people are losing their spaces in our community. You know, not only the Boiler Room, but I believe there was a skating rink around here, and there was, you know, just a number of things for young
people. Bowling alley.
Bowling alley. And yeah, they're all gone. And I know where, from the Community Foundation's perspective, we're hearing a lot about people wanting to see more spaces. And I'm so pleased we can bring folks awareness of the Guildhall for that reason. I also just wanted to say a word about like young people and how they develop. You know, there's so many of the spaces that they're in, they're being asked to consume other people's information. And I think that what you're talking about in terms of a creative space where they own it, it's their voices, it's their creativity and their opportunity to make and share their perspectives known. It's just so special what you're doing. And I just really want to thank you for that. I do really want to find ways, not only for the Community Foundation, but for our community as a whole, to be part of supporting what you're trying to achieve there. Are there ways for us to do that?
There definitely are. And first, I want to make sure that I'm not overselling what the Guildhall is doing at this point in terms of youth programming. These are our values and our aspirations, but we certainly don't have the kind of opportunities and events and resources available now that the Boiler Room did it all. So I wouldn't try to sort of take that mantle. That's what we're aspiring to and hope to do down in the future. But just to sort of clarify that. And also just to really resonate with what you just said, that, you know, when I grew up in Olympia and having music spaces available to me, you know, living in a place knowing that I could go to a DIY show in someone's basement, or, you know, friends start a band and there's a spot that they can play even though they're only 16. And maybe we all just learned to play our instruments last week, but that to be welcomed and embraced and supported, to be your creative, vibrant, weird, freaky, discovering yourself self as you grow up is huge. And I think that anyways, down in Quilcene, up in Port Townsend, everywhere, that we can find ways to really support youth to come together with one another and create whatever version of themselves and their lives and their community that they want to see, we should be doing that. And I'm excited for the Guildhall to be able to play a role in that in the future in Quilcene.
And where the Guildhall is right now is a gathering place, that it really does encompass the community at large. But the community at large is quite a broad demographic, I think, socially and otherwise and economically. What's been the reaction? What's been the reaction from the community in general?
We've had a great response from different folks in the community. All of us in the collective live down in Quilcene, and we know what a varied place it is, politically, economically, socially. And that's part of what makes Quilcene such an interesting and vibrant community. And I would say, you know, we haven't faced any kind of, you know, resistance or pushback, just a lot of curiosity and excitement. People are excited to see this special landmark building being taken care of and fixed up. People are excited about the variety of events that happen there. And there's often, you know, if you hang out there on a summer afternoon, you've got people stopping by to just check out the building. The, you know, the back door is covered in sparkles and there's all these stripes and things like that that are sort of holdovers from all the different things that have happened there and all the different varieties of things that have been like housed in that space. So it's always great to just have people be able to stop by and check it out and get involved at events or at our work parties or things like that. But we've had, yeah, we've had a wonderful response from our community down there.
Just goes to show you that caring and love are great medicine for any community.
Absolutely. And it's by having a curious and open mind with one another and by having spaces to gather and create together. This is how we build resilient and strong communities. And if we can come together for a winter solstice variety show, which is an event we've had there several times, then that also makes us stronger and better equipped to come together with one another in the face of a natural disaster or another crisis. So we really are, you know, our core values are really around building community resilience, organizing with one another in non-hierarchical ways, and creating space for individual and community empowerment through arts and music and gathering.
Bex, in a non-COVID situation, what would be the capacity of that building for peeps?
The capacity, I would say, is probably a little under 150 people. There's quite a lot of space in the main auditorium room.
When you have the Guildhall up and running, I hope you'll head north and start helping us create these spaces in Fort Townsend and Chimicum. And, you know, I think the more of these spaces we can have to all come together, we need them now more than ever.
Absolutely. The more we can connect with one another, you know, no one needs to be inventing the wheel on their own. All of our, you know, little siloed rural communities can be creating webs where we're stronger with one another and are sharing resources and sharing skills and expertise and helping lift everyone up together.
Bex, do you have a newsletter? How do people find out about what's going on at the Guildhall? And also, can people support the work by making donations or?
Absolutely. All of the above. So we've got a website. It's graycoastguildhall.com, and that's gray with an A. And we've got a Patreon. We've got a number of regular monthly community supporters who support us financially on Patreon and help us keep the lights on and keep a roof over our head. Through the website, you can also contact us to get on our email newsletter. We send out like a monthly update about events that are happening and what's going on behind the scenes, as well as different ways to plug in and get involved. And we're always looking for folks who are interested in donating not only money, but also their time and expertise and ideas, as well as materials and labor. The building needs a lot of love. And this fall, we're going to be launching a big fundraising campaign to try to raise the funds to put a new roof on the building, as well as create an ADA accessible walkway and entrance to the space. You'll see our video and fundraising campaign coming sometime this fall. So that'll be a great way for people to get involved in person as we're doing that work and also helping just spread the word and contribute in any way they can.
Bex Berryhill, organizer and musician, living in Quilcene, living in the woods in Quilcene with your two dogs and a member of this collective, this wonderful collective, the Gray Coast Guildhall. I want to thank you so much for joining us on Community Times.
Thank you so much for having me on. A pleasure to talk to both of you.
Thank you, Bex.
Bye-bye.
This has been another edition of Community Tides, coming to you on alternate Fridays at noon here at KPTC. Yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. Until next time, be caring and be safe.